First of all, I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to share this meeting with, along with my brothers, who spoke previously their teachings, and also all the congregation for their support and encouragement all these years as we were attending here at Humble. I was listening to Doug's teaching. I also hope that this lesson may serve as a complement of what we just heard, and also what we heard this weekend from the other members of the congregation. The subject I will present tonight has been and still is something that concerns me since I could understand the greatness of God, the beauty of and the wisdom of His Word. This motivated me to pray and move from several congregations, most of them denominational. And one question was always arise on me. As a servant of the Lord, who am I going to serve? Myself? The man? Or the Lord my God? Please turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 22. We read that the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas off to Antioch, and when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all that with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Older versions, like King James, refers as Barnabas encouraged them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. It's interesting that, for example, this verb to cleave is the one used in Genesis 2:24 or Matthew 19:5, where when it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Even with this is just an analogy, it can give us in a perspective the type of relationship or join with the Lord that we are going to observe tonight. So let's go back to Acts 11, and from the context, we understand that after the death of Stephen, some Christians who were under persecution moved from Jerusalem to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. The Word of God also points out that the men of Cyprus and Cyrene went farther, and when they arrived to Antioch, they started preaching the gospel not only to the Jews, but also to the Greeks. In consequence, the church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas off to Antioch, who rejoiced after he had seen the grace of God working on these men. There were new Christians who ended up being persecuted, scattered, and they were forced to leave. Certainly, it requires courage to profess their faith under these circumstances in a foreign country and to the Greeks. Remember that they were seriously practicing paganism with their own gods, all kinds of gods. Barnabas was a good man who exhorted them to take courage, since they were facing adversity, distress in many ways. But as Mike mentioned this morning, you need courage when there are obstacles to overcome. However, in verse 21, we also read that the hand of the Lord was with them, and their work became fruitful. and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. We can see that God will accomplish things through us. It's for us to seek the Lord in order to serve him well. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 15. And please allow me to split some of these verses in order to highlight the concept that I just mentioned. During the times of King Asa, the prophet Azariah went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For many days Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. And in verse 7, we read, "But you, be strong, and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work." We see in verse 8, that when King Asa heard these words, he took courage and removed the idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities. He also went farther and restored the altar of the Lord. Courage is necessary to pursue the will of God, but courage is not enough. It does not come alone. If it does not come along with a commitment from our side with the Lord, as we just read, again, it's for us to seek the Lord in order to become successful in the work for the Lord. Barnabas encouraged the early Christians in Antioch that with purpose of heart to remain faithful to the Lord. So what is the meaning of purpose of the heart? Purpose of heart. How this should be. Let's change the scope for a moment from this group of men to one person who his life served as a remarkable example. Under similar circumstances, away from home, Daniel was also sent to a foreign country. He was taken into the Babylonian captivity during the first of the three deportations. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, we read that Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chiefs of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was a talented young aristocrat who received a special training to serve the king of Babylon. He put at risk his life and his position because he wanted to be faithful. It requires courage to make this decision. But I want to emphasize the fact that his intention to preserve himself for the Lord was not circumstantial. Not only when challenged, instead, with this premise of not to defile himself, he was willing to accept the challenges in his life. What I'm trying to say is that Daniel commanded his heart to remain faithful and not to fall away. This is something that comes from the depth and shows who you really are. His life reflects a level of commitment that comes along with sacrifice and a predetermined resolution. He was resolute to honor God with his life. But throughout the Word of God, we see other men like Joseph with a profound devotion to the Lord. None of these men had the privilege to attend a congregation to serve the Lord as we do today, especially under the circumstances that they were both facing. Then, how can we do that? As we advance in the study of the book of Daniel, the key is that he was a man of prayer who diligently sought the Lord. He built up his character and his faith, and the Lord strengthened him as he did with King Asa. As a conclusion, I think that Barnabas' exhortation will also apply to us. We live in times where everyone is trying to promote their own agenda, where pride and selfishness takes priority. Probably not different from that time either, but certainly I believe that it's not a matter of priorities. Actually, if we review the life of this man, we can easily observe that our priorities will order or will accommodate according to what is in our heart. In other words, even if all our priorities are aligned and we believe that we are serving the Lord properly, we might fail in the Lord's eyes, for instance, if we cannot forgive, if pride takes over, because our heart is not pure. A servant of the Lord, will you approach in prayer to the throne of grace with confidence in times of need and rest in Him with contempt? Or you will just try to control the circumstances around you beforehand? This is probably very common for us at work. This is just to mention a few of the many situations where we can defile ourselves. There is a good advice in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. There we read that, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring of life." Since we are all facing challenges in life, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The same God that sustained and exalted Daniel and Joseph and all the devoted men who serve Him, we will be with you as well if you seek Him with all your heart. For the closing, we hope that this series of teachings have served for your edifications. If we can assist anyone on it, please come forward and stand with me.